Well, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. Whether you're in the building with us this morning, it's great to see so many faces. I would say smiling back at me, but I can't tell whether you're smiling. There's a few smiles. You're not allowed to take your mask off, David. And if you've joined us online as well, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're watching live or you're watching later in the week, thank you for joining us for our act of celebration this morning. And we've been doing an Advent window competition. Anyone been looking at the Advent windows? Yeah, a number in the building. We still need a few window displays. So if you've got a bit of a creative eye and you want to get going, we're not too late. If we're not careful, our last few days, we won't have a window. So please do that and send it to Maxine if you've got a photo. If you've already held on to your photo, and please do send it in as soon as possible. The drive-in carol service is happening on Wednesday evening. There's two services. There's a 6 o'clock all-age nativity, and then my mind's just gone blank, 8 o'clock, I want to say. the tickets have nearly gone. We've got about 10 spaces at each service left. So if you'd like to book into that, please do either book in online or contact Maxine in the church office as well. This evening, Bismarck will be leading our time of prayer on Zoom at 8 o'clock. We're going to be praying for friends and family members as we lead up to Christmas, so please do join us on Zoom. And then one last thing that requires a bit of effort from ourselves, really, and that's on Christmas Eve. We want to encourage people to connect with their neighbours and do the doorstep nativity. The doorstep carol singing. There's a number of these going around, but we'd like to encourage people to do it. If you want any more information, contact Colin. The idea is that you just gather your neighbours, and you'll get the same song sheets. You turn on the radio and you sing along to the carols on Christmas Eve. So please do have a think about whether you could do that with your neighbours. this week is our third week of Advent. We're going to be lighting our candle. I've asked Richard Renouf to come up. So Richard, why don't you come and light it, and then I'll say our blessing. Can you go around the other way so people can see you? There you go. Thank you, Richard. Let us pray. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the one who is full of patience, who is not afraid of silence and does not need to fill each moment with activity and noise, the one who is beyond bluster and flurry, who does not jostle for attention. We believe in God the Son, saviour of creation, who slipped into Bethlehem one night, mostly unnoticed, who lived 30 years without headlines or hurry, who frequently took time alone with his patient father, who waited for the right time to become the suffering servant, who stood quietly before the noise of the accusers, whose silence overpowered their words, who died then rose again on a quiet Sunday morning. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens, empowers, renews and refreshes, sometimes arriving with obvious power, sometimes with a quiet breath of a whisper. We believe in one God who patiently waits for us and who longs for us to do the same. Amen. Later in our service, we'll be taking communion. Hopefully everyone in the building has one. If you're watching at home, I encourage you to get it ready. And then Liz will lead us in communion after Tilly has spoken. I'd just like to say we're going to watch a short video from BMS. We're not going to be in the building on Christmas Day, and we normally have a collection. I thought this year we would connect in with the BMS collection as it's focusing on the work of the leprosy mission in Nepal. We're going to watch a short video, and I encourage you, if you'd normally give on Christmas Day or you want to make it your Christmas offering, please do either follow the information online or hand your gifts or send your gifts to Neville, and he'll sort that out for you. But we're going to watch that video now.
I used to think my leprosy was going to kill me. I used to think about trying to kill myself. Thank you.
seems that way when you're on your own, when no one's telling you otherwise, when you think there's no cure, and when your friends and family stop meeting your gaze, reject you, keep you locked away, or throw you out. And when experts say leprosy has been eradicated in Nepal, but your rising fear tells you otherwise. Nepal has one of the highest rates of leprosy in the world, but Nilu knows it doesn't have to be this way.
When I went to the BMS-supported clinic, I was given medicine and clean clothes. The staff touched me and cleaned my wounds. I was overwhelmed by their love and care.
Leprosy can be cured, and even eradicated, in Nepal forever, if enough caring Christians come together to make a difference. Could you give to help people like Nilu suffering with leprosy today? For £13, you could enable a BMS-supported medical worker to test 30 people for signs of leprosy. For £39, you could show love to 10 patients through regular counselling and fellowship sessions. And for £74, you could get 17 people onto a treatment plan to eradicate or slow the spread of this terrible disease. Please give generously this Christmas. Go to bmsworldmission.org/Christmas appeal today. Thank you.
Now we're going to join Lawrence and the worship group.
Good morning and welcome to our service. It's good to have people in the building once again. And also welcome to people who are listening on the live stream at home. We pray that at this time of Advent we will be filled with the peace and the joy of Jesus. Amen.
Bye.
Now it's time to join Clive and Diana as they share more of the Christmas story.
Hello everyone, it's good to be with you again as we get 1 week closer to Christmas. I think Clive is a bit excited. You've made something for me. What is it? Is it a cake? It's a Christmas card. Oh, thank you, Clive. Happy Christmas, Diana, from Clive. This is the second Christmas card I've got this year. You've got lots. Let's count them. Okay, are these them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're very popular. Yes, you are. There's a lot of counting in our story today. Are they counting Christmas cards? No. But if you sit still, I'll read the story and you can find out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Mary counted the months. It would soon be time for her baby to be born. But someone else was counting too. It was the emperor. He wanted to count everyone in the country and to make it easier, he said everyone needed to go back to their hometown. "We will have to go to Bethlehem," said Joseph. "That's a week's journey at least." "I can't do it," said Mary, "not with the baby coming soon." And the tears rolled down her cheeks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Joseph wiped her tears away. "You can do it," he said. "Remember that God is still with you, just as the angel said, and God will help you." So they set off on their journey, and Mary counted the miles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Again and again. And she counted the donkey's footsteps and the number of times the little baby kicked inside her belly. It was a long, hot journey. But at last they arrived in Bethlehem, and Joseph looked for a place to stay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He knocked on door after door, but the answer was always the same. "Go away! We have no room for you." Mary began to cry. "The baby is coming soon and I need to have somewhere to stay," she wept. Joseph looked up and down the street again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And there, at house number 10, was a door he had missed. The door opened. But when Joseph asked if there was an empty room, the innkeeper shook his head. "Bethlehem is bursting," he said. "We have no room at all." "But my wife is about to have a baby," Joseph pleaded. "Oh, I can see that," the innkeeper said, "but there's nothing I can do." He was just about to shut the door when he stopped. "Wait a moment," he said. "There is a place behind the inn. It's nothing fancy, but it's warm and dry, and you can have your baby there." So he led them round the back of the inn to the stable, and there, among the animals, Mary finally lay down and gave birth to God's own special son. You love that story. So do I. You wonder if Mary ever really thought that God wouldn't look after her. That's a good wondering question. I wonder what you think. He looked after her because he loved her. And she was very special. Yes, Mary was very special because God chose her to be the mother of his own son Jesus. And he loved her very much. But it's important to remember that every one of us, every one of you, is special to God. And he loves you very much. And that's why he sent his own son Jesus to make a way for us to go back to himself. And that's why Christmas is good news. Yes, indeed. But it's time for us to say goodbye now. So it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive. And maybe we'll get some more cards in the week ahead. Goodbye, everyone.
Now it's time for Tilly to bring us God's word.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be joining you this morning. And I would just like to share with you a few thoughts and some words that aren't my own. But actually, as I was reading in preparation for today, I felt led to share this with you all this morning. So I hope it's a blessing. And this is a reflection from an author called Vinitha Risner. And she writes quite a bit about how we can find hope in dark situations. And this reflection is no different. It is along those lines. Risner once wrote that in the midst of her personal disappointment, she started reading the Christmas story, trying to imagine how Mary felt. And so let's do that now. Let's read from Luke 2, verse 1 to 14 for ourselves. And I wonder what might feel important to you as we revisit this familiar passage. Luke 2:1-14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." So I'm just going to continue to unpack some of Risner's take on the nativity, particularly focusing on her thoughts around the symbol of the manger and the presence of God with us. So she starts by saying that for Mary, carrying the Son of God was costly. No one would have believed she was a virgin. Her premarital pregnancy was scandalous, bringing disgrace to everyone affected. Yet God had called her to this. He had entrusted her with carrying his precious son, who would reign over his people and all the nations forever. Mary had been given an incredible honour. So she might have expected something notable to happen before Jesus' birth. Earthly kings had fanfares associated with them. How much more the Son of God? So Mary may have felt disheartened as she trudged in the final stages of pregnancy to Bethlehem, about 80 miles away, with no one to help her but Joseph. The Bible does not mention her even having the donkey we like to imagine her riding. And as she was delivering Jesus, did Mary wonder why God had not intervened? Scripture does not record that this birth was anything other than ordinary, messy, bloody, the way all babies are born, and then wrapped in swaddling cloths according to the custom. All very typical, very human. And where to lay him in such a familial society? Surely most women would be surrounded by relatives, eager to rock a newborn baby. But Mary and Joseph were alone and exhausted. So where in a drafty stable do you lay your newborn infant? They chose a manger. A crude feeding trough for animals. It was the best they could do under the circumstances. I wonder what Mary thought as she placed Jesus in a manger. Was she hesitant to put him there? Did it feel safe? Did she and Joseph have to shoo the animals away as they came to the manger in search of food? Did seeing the manger highlight for her the desperation of her situation? As she watched her sleeping baby, did she wonder if this was really what God had planned? And then the shepherds came. They told the young couple all that had happened. Angels proclaimed his birth and sang God's glory. It must have thrilled Mary to hear the shepherd's account. Though she and Joseph had been alone at his birth, heaven had been rejoicing, and the heavenly host had sent the shepherds to come and worship Jesus. Confirmation that her sleeping baby was indeed the Son of God. And how did the shepherds find them? How did they know it was the Saviour? There's no mention of a star guiding the shepherd's way to baby Jesus as it would for the Magi. The manger. Luke is the only gospel that mentions this specific detail. The shepherds knew it was the Christ child because of the manger. That was their sign from God. The angels had said, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." There might have been other babies born in Bethlehem that night, and they might have been wrapped in cloths, but no other child would have been laid in a manger. The confirming detail would be that they found the baby lying in a manger. That's distinctive. This manger, this messy, smelly, dirty feeding trough was the sign that God used to show the shepherds where their Saviour lay. Signs in the Bible were significant. Gideon's sign was the wet fleece and dry ground, and vice versa. Hezekiah's sign was the shadow that went backwards. And Ahaz's sign was that a virgin would conceive. All of these were miraculous, extraordinary, and unnatural. And so as Mary put Jesus into the manger, it must have felt unnatural for her as well. No one would expect to find a baby in a manger, let alone the Son of God. It was as remarkable as the other signs. When the shepherds told Mary of their sign, it must have been an amazing confirmation for her, one that she treasured. The manger had been God ordained all along. She hadn't escaped God's notice. Perhaps Mary needed a sign just as much as the shepherds, to know that she wasn't forgotten by God, that God was still with her, that she was being used by God. And we might sometimes want that sign. We might sometimes want confirmation. In our natural world, we think that confirmation of our decisions is that things go well. They fall into place, they get tied up with a bow. Well, what if the confirmation in the kingdom of God is that things get increasingly hard? The opposite of what we wanted. More humbling than we ever expected. When our lives feel humble and obscure, when we are hoping for something prettier, it might help us to remember that sometimes God hides his most precious treasures for us in our most confusing, difficult experiences. What if the confirmation is the manger? What if the confirmation is that Emmanuel, God, is with us in our desolate places? I think it's glorious news that God doesn't desert us. God himself in his holiness comes near to humanity. He comes near to me and to you. And we can freely go before his presence without hesitation, because as Spurgeon puts it, he first came to us and introduced himself to us. May we join the multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Good morning. We're going to share communion shortly. But before we do, I'd just like us to join together in a prayer of confession by Rob McCoy. So let's pray. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We go about our lives as if Christmas is an event to be celebrated, but not lived. We hear the good news, but do not heed it. We turn away the Holy Family, for there is no room in our hearts. We hear the cry of the expectant mother, desperate for care and a place to lie, but listen instead to the carols. We see the lowly children, born in mangers among the filth of the world, but look instead to the decorations. We hear the call of the angels to come and worship the newborn king, but bow down to the idols of our culture. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Forgive us and free us for joyful obedience. Remove the barriers that we construct and empower us to be a people doing the real, gritty, holy, graceful, loving work of Christmas every day. In the name of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As we join in our communion together, there will be some pauses for your own silent prayer, and there will be a few phrases in italics where it would be good if you could join in. And it's based on a liturgy from the Church of Canada. Your song of wisdom rang out before the world began. Throughout the ages, your song of liberation has given us hope for a world where those considered the least and the last are first and most. Violence is overcome by the power of your ancient love, and all work together for peace. You bring our longings to birth and send prophets to awaken us to your approaching advent among us. We thank you for those who, like Mary, have the strength and courage to give birth to your love in the world, for those who, like the shepherds, dare to seek out the child of Bethlehem, for those who, like the wise ones, actively challenge violent and oppressive powers. We praise you that your everlasting light is shown to us in womb and tomb, in cradle and cross, in tenderness and compassion. We join in the Advent prayer of all your people, O come, Emmanuel, and as we wait and watch for your coming among us, we proclaim your goodness. At this time, we also remember all with whom you would have us share your feast. We pray for all who are in sorrow or in pain. We pray for all who are ill or alone. all who are close to our hearts. All who live with fear, oppression, or hunger. All whose lives have been blighted by violence, racism, or poverty. For all whom the world counts as the last and the least. We pray for the church and its many ministries, for nations as they strive for peace and justice, for an end to violence. God of hope, make this bread the means of our rebuilding, this wine the medium of our transformation, this table the foundation of our renewal, and this community the place of our rebirth. Amen. At this time, we remember Jesus, who on the night before he died, took a loaf of bread, gave you thanks, broke it, and said, "Take and eat. Whenever you do this, remember me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant. Remember me." Gracious God, breath of peace, source of love, we pray for your spirit. Make us, while many, one. Make us, though broken, whole. Make us, despite death, alive. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. The body of Christ, the bread of life. Let us take and eat together. The lifeblood of Christ, the cup of blessing. Let us drink together for our strengthening in the faith and for the sake of the world. Jesus, you truly are Emmanuel, God with us. In this season of hope, may the meal we've shared together nourish us to be your body in the world. Your kingdom come, your will done on earth as it is in heaven. With the angels in heaven, we join in singing your praises. Glory to God in the highest. God bless you. We'll hand over now to Lawrence and the team to close our time of worship together. And please do join us afterwards on Zoom for coffee and chat.
Darkness like a shroud. Shine, your light has come.